Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I am here with Ashley from Bloomington, Illinois. She owns My Lean Body Bootcamp. What's up, Ashley? How are you doing today?
Hi, Bree. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All righty, let's jump right in. So what is it that made you want to own a gym?
That is such a good question. I was actually working out at My Lean Body Bootcamp for about 2 years before the previous owner approached me about buying her gym. So it had never really crossed my mind to own a gym before that time, but the thought of this particular gym not existing anymore was just not even feasible to me. And so we started talking about it. And then originally our timeline was for a few years. She was talking to me like in like year three, and then I would buy it in year five. So like a 3 year timeline, and that got bumped up by about 2 years. So it was an interesting time that we were discussing. So we were talking about me buying the gym, and then she's like, how about you buy it today? And I was like, maybe. So I came home, I talked to my husband, and it just made sense. It worked for us. It worked for our family. I have two kids, so I was already working full-time at that point in time. And so I quit my job, and it was just a really good fit for our family because I was able to be home a little bit more in the evenings or in the morning, whatever it is that my husband needed, so that he could go into the office. And so it just made a lot of sense. And it was just really exciting. My Lean Body is a completely unique gym facility. It's an all women's gym. And it's all about empowering women to be strong and own their strength and know that they can do so much more than they think they can. And then society thinks that they should. So it's really exciting and I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else ever in my life. So it's just super exciting to be a part of it and see these women grow every day.
Absolutely. It's cool to hear because it's almost like it fell into your lap for a reason. Like It really wasn't on your radar beforehand. And then it was just something that literally just fell into your lap. So you were working out there before, you loved it, and then it ended up being yours. So That's awesome. And I also love that you're women's only, and you know, you're about empowering women to feel strong. And I think a lot of times first of all, for women, sometimes it's intimidating to walk into your regular gym, especially if you're new to working out, you're not really sure what you should be doing, how you should be doing it. 100%. So it can definitely be intimidating. And then a lot of women just don't do it because they're afraid to. But on the other side of that, the benefits of working out and gaining strength physically does so much for you mentally and for your confidence as well.
Absolutely.
I think that's awesome that you provide that place for women to come and gain those things, because otherwise you're missing out on a lot, because like I said, the confidence factor is huge, because then that translates into every other aspect of your life as well.
Absolutely. And the intention of My Lean Body was always to help women gain the confidence that I've gained, that Emily, the original owner, gained after working out, and really to do that in a safe space where they're not going to be judged, where they don't have to feel like everybody is looking at them, but they can be encouraged and encourage other women to do more, be more, pick up something heavier, because all it is women around you. And I have women from their early 20s to their late 60s. As members of my gym, in group fitness, in personal training, and in small group weight training classes. And it's amazing to have like a 30-year-old woman training with a 65-year-old woman, and the way that they talk, the way that they encourage each other, it's just incredible. And it's not like anything else you could ever experience in like a normal gym.
Right.
Because that comfort level is just not the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that you've been able to build a really good, close-knit community as well because of that.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's great. So as far as your business model goes, how do you structure things? So do you do group training? You do one-on-ones? Do you have any type of open membership? How does that work as far as your business model goes?
So we have three different styles of training at My Lean Body. We have group fitness classes, and those are based on a number of classes per week that the members pay for, which really ends up being like an X number of classes per month. So if they pay for three classes per week, it's 12 classes per month. If they're going on vacation, we encourage them to come a few extra classes the week before they go on vacation or the week that they come back from vacation so they can get that what we call perfect attendance, so where they hit those 12 classes in their month. We also have an unlimited membership for those in group fitness, where they can come as many times as they want. We have six class days a week, so we have classes Monday through Saturday. We don't have class on Sunday, so they can come up to six times per week for those boot camp classes. And so that's where the bulk of our membership is in that group fitness. Though I've seen a vast increase in our small group weight training classes, which is 4 to 5 women with one trainer. And that's the other majority of our training is that small group. So it's 4 to 5 women, one trainer. They are learning how to lift weights, how to move their body, how to have proper form on those exercises. Form is really important for me. Because we can get hurt so easily when moving heavy weight. And so I want to be sure that those women know how to engage through their core, how to take those deep breaths, how to keep their shoulders back, you know, all of those things, so that they can be sure that when they go and do it on their own, if they choose to do that at a different gym, or if they choose to work out one day with me and then, you know, at a gym another day, they have that basic knowledge. And then I have one-on-one trainings, and a lot of those are tailored towards continued physical therapy has been a big area that I've been working. So people who've had either leukemia, some kind of cancer treatment, some kind of physical injury, and then they come in to me after they're done with physical therapy, and we kind of build their strength a little bit more, advancing their physical therapy to that next level. Adding a little bit more weight to those workouts, whatever that may be for them, so that they can feel like they did prior to their injury. And then I also have some older clients who I work personally with one-on-one. Really how we set up our gym.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got kind of like a larger group class, a semi-private, and then a one-on-one also. And, you know, I'm sure that now post-COVID, like you said, that smaller group is kind of picking up steam. So that's not surprising. I'm sure that people like that smaller group atmosphere, and they also like the attention that mm-hmm. you get, that you can give as the instructor in a smaller group setting. It's almost like personal training in a one-on-one, in a small group setting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's great. And then also like the rehab, I love that you do like a rehab style kind mm-hmm. of training to get people back to feeling, you know, somewhat as they felt before. So that's mm-hmm. great too. Are there any other services that you offer within the gym? Do you do any nutrition coaching or accountability or anything of that nature?
I do a little bit of food journaling review, but I'm not a certified nutritionist or anything like that. And in the state of Illinois, I can't officially say that it's nutrition advice. Mm-hmm. But I do review people's food journals. I do give them some tips and tricks, some swaps that they can make to overall really eat more clean, which is ultimately what our gym advises as the best form of a diet. Is eating as whole and clean as you possibly can, because we all know that our body works better when we're putting in those natural foods, those veggies, those proteins, those good fats, as opposed to all of that processed food. Staying away from fast food, staying away from anything that has been processed or packaged. So really staying, giving those kinds of advices, but not necessarily specific nutrition coaching.
Right. Okay. As far as your membership base goes currently, how many members are you currently serving?
We serve on average about 95 to 100 members across those three groups of training.
Okay. So 95 to 100. And so now you took over this business in a very interesting time. So about 2 years ago, we talked about this a little bit before we got on the air. So as far as the membership base pre-COVID, which is basically right around when you took over the gym, just a little bit before that. Yep. So what are the differences now? Was there a lot larger membership base then? Was it greatly affected? How did that work through COVID?
So I bought the gym in 2019, November of 2019. And the gym base then was almost exclusively the group fitness. Like we had probably 85 to 90 members who were exclusively exclusively boot camp. Like the group fitness, mm-hmm. that's what the majority of our client base was at that point in time. Post-COVID, so the world that we live in right now, which is somewhere between pre-COVID and whatever the world is going to be like in, I don't know, 5 years. Who knows? Our client base has shifted. So our group fitness has shrunk. I probably have closer to 70 members in group fitness that are pretty consistent. You know, I have probably 80 on the books, but 70 of those are consistent here every week, all of those things. And then the additional, you know, 30 members, 20 to 30 members are actually in the small group trainings and personal trainings, which has really kind of shifted the way our income looks now. So pre-COVID, it was 90% of it was group fitness. And now it's almost 50-50, maybe 60-40. So 60% from group fitness, 40% from those small groups and personal trainings, which has been an interesting shift in our business model, because it just takes a lot more of like my time to make those programs, to keep them interesting, to meet with all of those clients, to set up that base, to get them evaluated and know exactly what I'm going to be doing with them. And all of the personal training clients, I actually see myself because I'm the first person that they see. So I want to really build that relationship first and understand what they need, so that that first initial 3 month time frame, they're working solely with me. And then after 3 months, I'll hand them off to another one of my trainers who I think is the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. And what they need and where that trainer fits with them. But as of right now, I mean, I have 5 personal training clients and we have 8 small group, those semi-private small group trainings a week, in addition to all of the boot camp classes. So,
right. Yeah. So that's a lot for you to take on. So as far as the financial side of things, the income side of things for you as the gym owner, now, typically the personal training is a higher ticket than the group training. So did that actually increase your monthly revenue post-COVID, or?
So it's actually kind of evened out our monthly revenue. So yes, personal training does cost more because we're talking about one-on-one. My time is worth more than, you know, my group fitness instructor's time. But because of the loss of revenue from boot camp and the increased revenue that I've gotten from personal training clients, I can't have as many personal training clients as I would to really max out where I was in our group fitness, but really it's kind of evened out. So, you know, we're bringing in about $12,000 a month from both group fitness and from personal trainings and semi-private trainings. And pre-COVID, that was probably about the same, 12 to 15,000 a month. Okay. So we're not quite where we were pre-COVID. It was really closer to 15,000 a month. And now we're kind of closer to 12, but that's a lot more comfortable than where I was even, you know, 6 months ago, where it was closer to 9. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So basically now you're at a point where the income is the same, but it's almost like now you're doing more work.
Yes.
Because that business model has shifted a little bit. So now you're doing more personal training, which is great, but it requires more of your time, more effort. Yes. Yeah, so that can be a little bit tough. Obviously, we're thankful that we're back to kind of where we were as far as the income goes, but now it's requiring more from you.
Yes. And I still instruct some of the group fitness classes as well. And we all know like staff are expensive to have to have staff is expensive. And so it's kind of like that balancing act between, do I have enough staff to take over the group fitness classes so I don't do them anymore as an instructor, or do I continue to do group fitness classes where, you know, paying myself doesn't cost as much as having an employee?
Right.
But then my time is also more limited.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I am right now, is I have a good number of instructors where I feel fairly comfortable. I'm still in instructing a few times a week, but like I'm finding it more challenging to find the time to do the work portion of owning a business, you know, keeping my books, keeping all of the programming under control, writing all of the workouts, and all of that. So, you know, it's kind of like that balancing act that I haven't quite figured out yet. I'm working on it, which I feel like is going to be my answer forever.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's across the board as a gym owner, that is the number one thing, because you're required to wear so many hats, you know. It's like you're teaching classes, you're doing your one-on-ones, you're writing programming, and then you get through your day and then you have to sit down and focus on the numbers. And it's like, who wants to look at the numbers at the end of the day after you've been training all day, you know? And then on the other side of that, then you have, you know, your social media accounts that you have to keep up with, and your marketing, your advertising. So there's just a lot to focus on. And I think that it's also hard to delegate tasks sometimes, because we touched on this a little bit earlier. You know, you take all of your personal training clients for the first 3 months. And I think as gym owners, it's hard to give some of those tasks to other people, just because it's like a quality control kind of thing, you know, like you're afraid that somebody else isn't going to provide the same level of service as you, because let's be honest, nobody cares about the business as much as you do. So
absolutely,
it's hard to let go of some of that control sometimes. Just because you're afraid of the quality being the same. And, you know, at the end of the day, everything, it is your business. So everything is a reflection of you. And that really makes it hard to be able to delegate some of those tasks and step back a little bit and focus on the business side of things. So I think that that's something that gym owners across the board struggle with. And that's something that I struggled with when I was running a facility. It was very hard for me to step back from anything. It was almost like, never mind, like I'll just do it myself. You know, like I'll just handle it. It's almost easier to overwhelm yourself with all of the tasks than it is to allow somebody else to do it. So I can definitely relate to that.
Yes. And there are a lot of things that I try and delegate out to my staff, because I'm like, listen, you know your clients. You've been working, especially in the semi-private groups. I don't train a lot of those groups. You know them. If you want to build them a program, you know, build that program, run it by me. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know why you want to do it that way. and then like run with that. Like if I can just hand some of those, that programming off to other people who are the people who are working with them one-on-one or in that semi-private group, then that's great. And I've got, that's, it took me over a year to get to that point for that. I'm like, you're on it. I'm done. Like hands off, have fun.
Yeah.
And so it is so challenging. And like, we also like at our gym, we have like a weekly newsletter that I write and recipes that I give. And I'm like, this is just getting, and you really do just have to eventually take it and be like, this is too much. So let's take it back a little bit. Let's maybe make it once a month or every other week, make the newsletter, you know, and all of those things. And it is so much. And the social media aspect is just too much for me. I have a member, I have a staff member who solely handles all of my social media. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Hands off. Have fun. We meet a few times a year. And we talk every month about like what the theme's going to be for that month. And then I'm just like, have fun. Like, do whatever you need to do because I can't think about that anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. That can be a lot to keep up with. I don't think like people realize how much goes into, you know, constantly taking videos and editing them and just providing constant content to your members. Yes. It can be a lot to keep up with.
So much.
Yeah, absolutely. Along those same lines, as far as marketing goes, what are you doing to bring new faces in your door? Are you doing any type of paid advertising through Facebook, Google, Instagram, any of those things? How does that look for you guys?
So the majority of our marketing has actually come through Facebook ads. We find that that's a really good way for us to find the people that we're looking for, at least right now. And we'll probably move on to Instagram. I think it's Facebook and Instagram ads. And so we'll probably stick with that for right now as the clientele changes. So as, you know, in the next 5 years, we may have to look at a different place to advertise to get some of those younger members since they aren't on Facebook and Instagram as much as like those 30, 40, 50 and up members are. I've looked into Google. I haven't done any Google ads yet. And really most of our clientele comes from word of mouth. So we give like referral incentives for our current members, say, hey, bring a friend and we'll give you 25% off your next month if they sign up. So those are some of the things that we have found really beneficial for us. Cause honestly, word of mouth in where we are in the state of Illinois is key. So if somebody can refer you and say, hey, this gym is awesome, it's the best place to be, then you're more likely to retain that member versus finding, you know, it on a Facebook ad. Last year, I did redo our website because it hadn't been redone since the gym was originally founded in 2010. And so I really went through and changed the feel of the website, the content of the website. It now has live feeds from both of our Facebook and Instagram accounts. So like that content's constantly changing. It has a link to our YouTube channel. So people can see like, hey, we have an online presence too. And we actually, after COVID, we added a YouTube membership for those who either moved away or wanted to stay working out from home.
Okay.
So that is a very small portion of our monthly income, but it's something.
Right.
And it doesn't require a lot of work.
Right. It provides another stream of revenue,
at least,
you know, in the business. So as far as the marketing that you're doing now, how many new members or new faces rather on average would you say that's bringing in per month currently?
3 to 5 per month is what we see. And our gym offers a week free of classes. So you have 6 days to try out our gym for group fitness. And that seems to be a pretty good incentive to have people come in and give us a try. And 4 out of 5 of those people who try us for a week sign up for any number of classes for the following month. And so like if they sign up in the middle of the month, obviously it's prorated for the rest of the month. And then the regular cost is associated the first of the next month. But that free week kind of gives them an opportunity to like try it. They get to see the different modalities in which we work out. And so it kind of also gives them an opportunity to kind of see who they're going to be working out with. If they plan on coming into like the 5 a.m. class every day, then they can kind of meet who those people are going to be. So we have found that it's been really beneficial for our gym to give them that opportunity. And it's really not, doesn't cost us anything to have them come for a week, especially if 4 out of 5 of those people do end up signing up for, you know, 3 times a week, unlimited, whatever it is for the next month.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you know, you have a really good signing percentage. A lot of the time, if somebody comes in your door, they're signing up for something, which is awesome. As far as your retention goes, so on the flip side of that, how is retention? Are we losing, you know, 1-2 people a month? If that is it, are, you know, what does that look like as far as what are we netting as far as numbers go?
Absolutely. Over the last like 3 months, I've lost 1 a month probably. Prior to that, so right around when COVID was kind of waning, and I lost a few more a month at that point in time. They'd been out of the gym for so long that they just decided to just go ahead and say, hey, this isn't working for me. I'm going to go ahead and cancel my membership at this point in time. And so then I was probably losing closer to 3 or 4 per month. And that lasted for probably 3 months. But now that everything's kind of evened out here in Illinois, our regulations have been fairly consistent for the past 6 months. I'm losing 1 and gaining about between 2 to 3 every month. So that's actually been a pretty good place for us to be. We were able to kind of build back up that group training aspect, which, you know, is always nice because it's fairly easy income.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. So pretty steady growth we're looking at, which is good. Okay. So as far as goals go over the next 6 months to a year or so, is there anything specific that you're really focused on within the business for the next 6 months to a year?
You know, I have been asking myself that question because I feel like for the past 2 years, all I've been doing is like pivoting every month. Like, what is it going to be? How am I going to figure that out? So really, ultimately, my goal would be to get our group fitness back up to around 90 people that are consistently coming every month. Because it feels really good when you're in a group fitness class with, you know, 10, 15 other people. Like, that energy is there. Yeah. It's really fun. And so that's really where my attention is going. At this point in time, most of my semi-private groups and my personal trainings are full. Like, I could maybe take 1 or 2 more clients and that's it. Like, I can't fit any more people in those groups at the times that I have them. So really my attention is shifting back to that group fitness aspect. And I think people have become more comfortable with the vaccine being out there, if people so choose to take that. You know, I think that comfort level has been increased. So that group fitness desire is back. And so I'm hoping that I can kind of shift some of my clientele back towards that group fitness or find those new people to really get excited about working out with amazing women, feeling super strong, getting super strong over the next 6 months. So through the summer next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that will help to, increase the monthly revenue and potentially take some of that work that you have on your plate right now off, which would be fabulous to get both of those things, you know, moving in the right direction.
You know, it would be nice.
yeah, for sure. So one question that I always like to ask everybody at the end of the podcast is, if you could snap your fingers and improve one thing in your business right now, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh.
Requires a little
harder question than you think.
I know. Sometimes people are like, oh, well, everything.
honestly, if I could snap my fingers and increase my group fitness membership by an additional 20 people, that would change the way the gym felt, would change the way the gym worked. And so that would probably be the one thing, like if I could just get from where I am right now to where I want to be in 6 months today, then I'd be like, cool. Then I can start focusing on that next goal. You know, whatever that next goal will be. But yeah, that would probably be the one thing that if I could just like snap today and we be at 90 people in group fitness. Yes. 100%. Let's do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said before, that will make your life a little bit easier, take a little bit of the pressure off and kind of allow you to focus on what's next. So yeah, breathe. Exactly. Yeah. Take some of the hats off, step back a little bit. Yeah. That would be nice. All right. Awesome. So as we start to wrap up, where can the listeners find you on social media?
We are at My Lean Body, all one word, boot, one word, camp on Facebook and Instagram. And that's really probably the best place to find us on social media. We keep that content going and growing as we can. That's where you can find our gym. It's really fun. It's really exciting. I love it. I love the gym. The women who work out there love the gym. So it's just really exciting.
Awesome. Love that. All right. So if you are in the Bloomington, Illinois area and you are looking for a new place to work out, make sure you check out My Lean Body Bootcamp. And thank you so much for joining us today, Ashley. It's been awesome having you on the show.
Thank you, Brie. It's been amazing.
Awesome. All right. And to all of the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you will be updated on future episodes of the show. And in the meantime, make sure you keep killing it and we will catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. We talk to real gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, Christian Ortiz from Cortiz Fitness in Orlando, Florida. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Dominic, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on with us. I can't wait to hear more about you and what you're doing, unique things down there in Orlando. So give us the breakdown. What's Cortiz Fitness all about? What are you doing in your area? How are you affecting lives in the community?
Cortiz Fitness is a place where anybody who has been curious about fitness, about experiencing better for themselves, they come here. They come here to discover the brightness that fitness and wellness has within themselves, whether it's a child, you know, whether it's an 18-month baby, all the way up to a 99-year-old man or woman. You know, we embrace anybody who's just willing to discover themselves, improve themselves, and make progress towards a better life for them.
Well, that's a hell of a summary. I got to know a little bit more. Let's dig into the background. Let's bring it back a little bit, and then we'll talk about where you are now. What is your background in health and wellness and fitness? And what brought you to this point, you know, a little over 3 years ago of opening up your facility?
Yeah, so back in, we're going back here. Back in 2001, I suffered a career-ending baseball injury. I was a top prospect for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And was going to be a collegiate athlete, of course, like everybody else. And I ended up getting a Tommy John surgery. I got Tommy John surgery. I recuperated. And then I ended up getting again. I had a career. Two Tommy Johns put me out baseball-wise. So I basically ended up in a semi-professional collegiate league. And I got depressed really badly. Put on some weight. Was starting to serve tables, trying to discover myself, you know, in life. Like every other young 19, 20-year-old kid at that time. And one day I was at a grocery store and I saw the Men's Fitness Muscle magazine. I saw these guys all ripped up and stuff. And I had looked down at my belly at the time. I said, man, what the hell just happened to me? I've got to get back to some fitness. So I bought me back at the time. I don't know how you guys are, but it's the first Bowflex that had the little band things that kind of like go around.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had put one of those in my apartment. And I 6 months, I got in really good shape. And the friends started asking me like, hey, what are you doing? Could you help me? So I started helping them at the gym. And I didn't even know what personal training was at the time. I was going to school for nutritionist, to be honest with you. And then once I started realizing I can help people, you know, I was serving tables and trying to help them. And I realized that you can get certified with this. And that's when I got certified through ISSA, International Sports Science Association. You know, and just started learning the personal training side of things and started the anatomy. I read a lot of anatomy books, and through the years kept up with my CEUs and you know, my nutrition and stuff like that. So fast forward, I moved to Florida, and I had stopped training maybe for a couple of months, and I was in need of a second job. I was broke as a joke, working at Emerald's Chop Chop down here in Florida. Wasn't making enough. Me and my wife had just gotten married, so I decided I wanted to get back to the gym. Walked into Bally's Total Fitness to sell memberships, and the guy was like, hey, you know, you still look like you're fit or whatever. Have you ever been a personal trainer? I told him, yes, I was, you know, months ago. They gave me the opportunity to become a trainer again. They would, you know, they would recertify me and everything like that and go through the whole program for 3 months. And so I did. I had to prove myself. I had to get leads. I had to get, you know, prospect up at the people at the treadmill. And back at that time, you had to plug in the earphones to the treadmill in order for people to think. So you had to kind of like bother somebody to try to prospect and go around. But it taught me a lot about sales, a lot about persistence, a lot about trying to grind and get the sale. And so once I got my first couple of sales, I got my confidence back to be a personal trainer. Then Bally's got bought out by LA Fitness. I quit Bally's. And I was approaching, honestly, I was approaching my 30th birthday, and I didn't want to serve tables any longer or bartend. So once I turned 30 years old, on the day I walked in, told my restaurant I'm done. And I had three clients, literally, that was it. I had three clients. I was working at an apartment gym. It was like my own thing. And I told my wife, I said, look, I'm going to grow this. I'm going to get 20 clients. I'm going to grow this. I'm going to make a company out of this. And as you know, it's always a problem when you only have three clients. You're 30 years old. You're broke. You got negatives in your bank account. You got credit cards all over the place. And that's when you do some soul searching, man. You know, you've got to just dig deep. And there was just always something that I felt that I had belonged, you know, to do this. So I made a plan. I took a little notepad. I'm a big writer with stuff. If you look at my desk, there's like papers all over the place. And I started writing down how many clients I want to get in the next 6 months, how many I want to get in the year, how much money do I need to get out of this hole? And I started learning about money. I started learning about business. I started reading about marketing. I mean, I have a huge bookshelf at home, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich. I started reading, all those, you know, crucial conversations. I just literally just started educating myself on what I need to be a better Christian in the future. You know, who am I in the future to be able to get? I envisioned a gym. I envisioned just being bigger than where I was supposed to be. So I got a teacher. I was training a teacher at the time. She had asked me to do a boot camp at her school. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'll go over there and I'll do a boot camp at your school. And I was doing pretty well. I was running boot camps at parks and doing my, you know, my personal training thing. I was working a lot. So I had done, you know, I went over there. I started doing a boot camp with about 15 teachers, and all their kids started making fun of the teachers, like, aha, that's Mrs., you know, it's Mrs. Bishop and stuff like that. So they all ran over to them and started working out. So I was like, man, I got to do something for kids. So I asked this, you know, I started looking into it, like, how do I do this? How do I get into the school? And that's how my Fit Kids for Fun program was born with the kids. It was John Young Elementary School over here in Hunters Creek, Florida. That was my first one. So I woke up every day and started driving to every school and trying to make a program and trying to figure it out. That led me to having a very successful after school program, which led me to my very successful summer camps, you know, got me the cash flow to start moving on to getting my own gym here. Now I have a good functional gym. I get to train athletes and some, you know, rappers and, you know, some moms that are just having kids and want to get better. And now I have a team and here we are.
Here you are.
That was a quick 7 minute story. That was probably an hour long, but there you go.
No, that's a good way to condense it. And it's interesting to hear, you know, we talk to a lot of people who have their micro gym, their box gym, whatever it is first, and then might branch out into a community program, a kids program, a meal prep, a nutrition program. It's almost always the other way around, where for you, it was really, you know, it sounds like it was the growth of that after school program. And what you had to go through to do that fed into you being able to have the brick and mortar spot that you have now too.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yes.
And, you know, for the sake of the audience, most of our listeners are going to be in brick and mortar gyms, in facilities like that. But I don't want to diminish at least a little bit of time to tell the story about, or give us a summary of the kids program. This is something where you saw the need and you got your hustle on and you went to the school departments, to the individual districts, and started getting your foot in the door. And after you had that first, would you say it was John Young School? After you got in there and started figuring out the vetting process, you grew that into something that was a pretty sizable business. It wasn't a side hustle.
Oh yeah, no. This was Once I got the concept of the my program, how to make the curriculum, how to, you know, be able to hire staff, because I didn't know how to be a boss either. I was just literally learning on the fly. Once I got the system down and knew where, you know, where the good schools were, where some of them weren't, you know, some schools they help you, some schools they don't. Once I got that, it provided the cash flow to be able to expand and really start budgeting and being able to manage an actual, you know, functional operational business. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. We are going to, we're going to spend some time focusing on the box gym, on that facility, because it is more to the spirit of what we do. Yeah. But, I do want to ask, if I can put you on the spot, if somebody's listening and they're interested in the logistics of starting a program with that, are you okay with people reaching out to you to talk to you about that?
Not at all. Anybody who's trying to make something happen for themselves, you know, sometimes you stay close to competitors because you can always helping someone, you always get rewarded in life. So if I can help anybody, absolutely.
Yeah. I think the impact you're trying to make on the kids in your area is something a lot of areas could use. So hopefully you'll inspire a couple people to go out and it's hard, right? It's hard to get through and get vetted by school departments and schools and get them to back you. But once you get that momentum, I mean, you start, you know, everybody wants to run a kids program, you know, meet them where they are, right? They're at school. If you can do it, obviously being in a warm weather area helps.
But, yeah. 100%. But yeah,
hopefully some people will pick your brain on that. So let's talk about when you decided to open your box gym. What did you have for existing clientele from day one? Like, how many people did you have as training clients once you opened this facility? That was 3 years ago about?
Yeah. So 3 years ago we had, so we're talking, it was 2018. Yeah. August 9th, 2018 was when I got my gym. So we're in November. Yeah. I can't even think about it. We're in November of 2021. So yeah, just over 3 years. Yeah. I had nine clients. That was it. About nine clients was coming in. And I was at that time, prior to that, I was renting space from other gyms. I was just kind of was like traveling around renting space. And I said, you know what, this is it. Like, I'm done. I saved up enough money. I said, I got to get my own spot here. And it was the best thing. I only had turf. We had the turf. We had the gym flooring. I had a bench. I had a set of, you know, dumbbells. I had a squat rack and just barely some agility stuff at that time, just to kind of get started. And then what I do is, you know, I start first thing I do is I always try to make sure that most businesses and a lot of personal trainers who are hearing this, the number one thing to making money is keeping your clientele. So many businesses make a mistake. They go out and they market and they spend all this money on trying to get new revenue. But if you look at revenue that's leaving, you know, like if you do a good job keeping and maintaining your people, then that's where the real money kind of comes in. You know, and a lot of my staff now, they kind of see and kind of get that even with my Fit Kids program. Like they just see like a lot of people stay. And the reason is you got to make them feel welcome. You got to make sure that they're going to be happy with the results and that you genuinely care. And so when that happens, they start talking to other people, they start getting the results. You know, I mean, I advertise, but I honestly barely, I know this is a shocker, but I don't post. I'm not even on social media like that. All of that just comes from how successful my customer retention has been. I'm really big into customer retention. I mean, I read a book called Never Lose a Customer Again. He was huge. I mean, it was basically that to a T. So instead of using 8 to 10% of your marketing budgets, I usually just use like a 4 to 5% on what I can gift some of my clients, what I can, you know, what kind of referral programs can I give. You know, if they have a birthday, I give them I try to give them something so they can just feel like they stay. And that way I don't need to be so worried about the future. I mean, of course, yeah, I mean, I do a little bit of stuff to kind of get people and stuff like that through the schools, or I use Thumbtack like everybody else probably does to get new clients. But I'm really big into customer retention for sure. And once that happens, you know, I reach out to all my past clients who I had since the beginning. And I try to make a goal on how many clients I want, how much, you know, cash revenue I need for just my personal training side. I make that goal and I make it happen.
And is the studio, the box that you have, is it strictly personal training? Do you do any, like, there's no semi-private, no group, it's just all one-on-one personal training?
Yeah, right now it's just all one-on-one personal training. That's all it is. Yeah, it works a little bit better like that. It's a very tight, it's a hard business concept because you're not getting as much flow sometimes like gym memberships. But the difference between, I think, a tight knit group like this is all my clients, like, the other trainers' clients and all their trainers like me. And it's just like a really big tight knit community. And I've done the boot camps, you know, I've done the fitness classes along the years, you know, this is for me specifically, this is just more of my niche is the tight knit group customer service, you know, personal training membership is what you would call it.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And so I love that you have this strong focus on retention because it's one of those things that, like you said, it does get overlooked. You know, people will, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about marketing and I have a little bit of a background in marketing and I've done it, but it's a conversation that nobody wants to have. It's like, great, I can show you how to get people in your door. I could show you how to make money on getting people in your door. But if you're losing them out the back door, you're putting in a lot of effort that you don't have to, right? You need to get enough people to fill your facility or be close to capacity. Otherwise, for me, it's always a matter of, are you helping all the people that you can, right? If you get in this to help people, it's like, I have this facility, I can help this many people, I should be. Like, it just, for me, feels almost like a moral obligation. But you don't want to, if you can help 100 people, it's cool for it to be the same 100 people for most of the year and not 20 new people every single month because you're losing them.
Yeah.
So that focus on retention is like, why do you want to have to always be replacing people when you could just be keeping them longer, getting them better results? Those people spend more money. They're more invested in themselves. They're going to stand by you when things go wild, like COVID. Like, those are always the people that are going to be the people you want. So I love that you have that focus on that. And that's a great book, by the way, the Never Lose a Customer Again. So if anybody hasn't read that, if you're a business person, read it, get it on an audiobook. If you want to go super wild, read the book while you listen to the audiobook. That's a great learning hack. But yeah, so Are you right now at your capacity in that facility for yourself and your other trainers? Is that why you aren't doing a lot of marketing or feel like you can focus on retention? Or are you still trying to grow that at the same time?
For me personally, for personal training, I'm packed, man. I mean, I am packed. I start at 6 o'clock and I started at 6 this morning. I go to about 10:30. And then I had my podcast with you. And then I have right after that, I have my team meeting. So, and then I have my night clients. So me personally, I'm definitely at capacity. And then, I do have, and there's some others that aren't, but for the most part, yeah, we're at capacity. I'm happy. I could always, don't get me wrong, I can always use the extra, but me personally, I have to make time to be able to manage my kids' program too. So if I take on more clients, I'm not going to be able to be as present and persistent with training my new management team that I have now, because COVID's over and I have to, like everybody else, they probably lost a lot of their staff members and stuff like that to COVID, which I did. So I'm retraining a lot of people now. And so I've been dedicating a lot of my time to retraining some people and getting some new people up and running. So 2022 can be back to pre-COVID days.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be a good feeling, I'm sure. So, one quick question about the trainers, the other trainers that you have, and just, this is kind of a business model thing. Do you find clients for them, or do people find you and then you assign people, or your trainers out there hunting for themselves, for their new clientele, and just bringing them into like under your roof?
Correct. Yeah. So if I'm packed, like if I'm really packed and there's still people, contacting me, I'll bring them in through the door and I'll give them to them over there. But other than that, for the most part, they hunt. And then I just collect the rent. And that's it.
So that your trainers just pay you rent and whatever they make. It's not revenue share or anything like that. They make whatever they make.
Me personally, because I mean, I've been there, because if you're there and you're like, oh, I'm going to take this from it, that's like another whole business structure. You kind of like, all right, well, how many clients do you have? And how many clients did you have? They show up for the session. And so like me, I'm just just don't do this. Don't do that. Make sure I'm aware of this. And then this is what you pay me and that's it.
Got it. So you keep it simple. You're not trying to be in their pockets anymore.
I keep it simple. Yeah. I keep it simple. I'm not here to, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like if I wanted to, yeah, but I'm not a dick like that. I mean, I'm a business. I always say I'm a businessman first. So as long as my business needs are met first, right after that, okay, you can be my friend, but you have in business, you unfortunately, and that's what I've been teaching. My assistant, she's over there, but business has to come first, because if it's not, nothing else can, you get things too personal, nothing. And that was the toughest part for me. I have a huge heart. So that was the toughest part for me about running a business, is making sure like what's first. And so business needs come first. After that, your help and your gift and whatever you can do to help people is after that. That's just my opinion, because business first pays the bills, puts the food in your family, and keeps everything afloat, keeps everybody's jobs. If you don't think business first, then you're gonna have to start firing people, laying people off. And you don't want that, man. Nobody wants that, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize it, but not keeping your business afloat, keeping it profitable, keeping it growing is the most selfish thing that you could do. Because if you don't eat, then other people don't eat. And now you get a bunch of people depending on you.
So. Yeah, you're letting them die. That's right.
You know, some people think it's a bad thing. Someone's like, oh man, you're all about the business. You're all about the money. It's like, well, somebody's going to pay the electricity. So these trainers have someplace to come make a living, whatever. So I don't fault you on that at all. So it sounds like the biggest project ahead of you right now is up training, upskilling this new management team that you're kind of rebuilding post COVID. Do you have anything else, any other big projects, anything you're working on, any obstacles that you feel like on either side of your business? Or is that really, you feel like once you get them trained up, you're going to be firing on all cylinders?
I mean, at this point in my career, I always feel like it, and I'm sure you know this or anybody, I don't care how old you are, you always got stuff to learn. You always got stuff to develop on. You always got stuff that opportunities that could come knocking on your door, and you just can kind of go with it. But I do believe that if you can't pass off your knowledge to someone and they can't run, like if you pick the right person and you train them properly, you should be able to see a substantial difference in, like, it should not only, it should, one, give time for you to be able to do stuff that you can also help grow the business more, and two, you should also still see your company grow, because a little bit of part of you is inside them. And so if I'm able to do that, right, if I was able to quit at 30 years old with just 3 clients, no money in my bank account, at an apartment gym at 30 years old, broke as a joke, you know, and to kind of get where I'm at now, like, and I'm not nowhere near where I want to be. I would like to grow nationally, and I would like to replicate what I have in Orlando and other states and stuff like that. And I will do that. But training and patience and discipline and effort, consistency come first. You have to have a good team behind you. You have to have people on your side that believe in you. And it's just, I look at the customer retention thing. I try to take the same approach with my staff. I mean, if you interviewed any one of them, they would tell you, like, I'm in the trenches. I'll go coach, I'll clean, I'll go do whatever I need to do to keep my customers happy. They'll tell you that if you pulled one of them off to the side. So it's, that's just my motto. You know, I've served tables a long time. I bartended a long time. I have the customer service background. I just think that's just a trick to kind of keep things simple without overworking yourself, and working smart.
Got it. All right. So we are just about out of time here, sir. There's a lot more we could dig into, but we're running a little long. So yeah. Before I let you go, though, the biggest thing that I want to know is if there was one piece of advice that you could go back and give to your younger self before you
went into business. One.
Is there anything that stands out to you? Just one thing you wish you knew? Is it the retention thing? Is it focus on that? Is there something else that you became a mantra or something that you live by?
Oof, this is a tough one, because there's a lot of things that I feel like I was a late bloomer. Okay. So I feel like I was a late bloomer. I feel like the kids nowadays, they have all the YouTube videos. They have like all this, like, they have all these resources that there shouldn't be any excuse. They have people like me and you, like, talking on podcasts here, and Joe Rogan and all that. Like, when I was starting, like, just take all that, you know, and everything was just on a book. Like, there was none of this. That there's YouTube wasn't even around. I'm down. I know I'm aging myself here, but like,
me too, man. I'll be 41 soon.
I'm almost gonna be 40 years old. So like, it's one of those things, like, you had no choice but to grind. It's just, you just had no choice. So with all the knowledge and resources that these kids have now, it's unbelievable. If I had to go back and talk to my younger self, I think it would, can I curse on here or no?
Yeah, man, no kids listening to that.
I would say the number one advice, and if I told this to her, I said, just fucking do it, man. I think, and what I mean by that is if you say you're going to do something, find the knowledge and do everything you possibly can to just do it. I was just very timid, very hopeful instead of actions. I think that's what it is. I would say just fucking worry about your actions. What are your action steps? I had the plans, and I would write stuff down, and I would just, all right, I'm going to hope it's going to happen. But I felt like at 25, 26, when I started kind of getting that little bit, I should have just put my foot on the gas pedal more and be a little bit more confident and just do it, just go and not be scared, and just get after it at all costs. You know, even if, no matter what, like, if it costs you family, if it costs you whatever, like, you can't be afraid of that. You got to just go after it. That would be my number one advice to my younger self, because my younger self, like, I was smart, but I was very slow and timid and kind of like, let me think about this. Like, I feel like nowadays with the resources these kids have, man, get the resources, you know, go listen to podcasts like you, go, you know, go Patrick Bet-David on Valuetainment on YouTube. He's phenomenal. You know, I listen to that guy all the time, like, watch all his videos. It shouldn't be no excuse. Just do it. That's it. That's my advice.
Man, if I had a dollar for every time I talk to somebody like you who feels the same way, and it comes down, I think, to the same thing, like don't burn the boats if you don't know how to swim. But if you know that you have the passion and the work ethic, just fucking do it, right? Get on it. If you're sure,
you just try to go.
It doesn't matter. You're never going to know enough. You're never going to be ready enough. There's never going to be a perfect time.
It's the truth. You're right. You're not going to be ready. You got to go.
It's passion, work ethic, and just pull the trigger. Let's just go.
Yeah, 100%, man.
And those are the people that end up happy, fulfilled, and growing always as a business person, as a human being, you know? So I love it. All right. Before I let you go, I don't want to forget, if people want to find you, tell us, where can they find your youth program, your training program, everything that you have going on down there in Orlando, hopefully soon to expand outside of the area. But what do you got? What is social media, website, all that stuff?
Yeah, everything. I mean, I haven't kept up with it, but you can reach me at it. It's cortizfitness.com. So CORTIZ and then fitness. That's the same thing with my Facebook and the same thing with my Instagram, at Cortiz Fitness. This is my personal training and sports training. At Fit Kids for Fun, you'll see the kids program there. You can email me, Christian@CortizFitness.com as well.
Perfect. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Thanks for being here.
Hey, love talking to business people like you, bud. Take care and good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks. You too. And for everybody out there listening, we appreciate your time. Thank you for being here with us. We hope you found value in this. As always, if you want to hear more episodes, more people like Christian doing some innovative things, everybody's got a little twist. We can all learn from each other. Let's push this industry forward and help more people. Hit that subscribe button. Get notified when new episodes drop. If you want to be on the show, if you want to come share what you're doing, talk to us about your business, click the link in the description, fill out the form. Someone from the team will get back to you as soon as possible. To everybody out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives, keep kicking ass. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast, where we talk to real gym owners who are in the trenches and learn more about their business knowledge. I'm your host, Brent Oliver, and today we're here with Kathy. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So if you want to just jump right into it, tell everybody where you are and what is your gym.
Okay. So I own the gym at City Creek. It is in Salt Lake City, Utah, in the heart of downtown. We are located at the City Creek Center, which is outdoor indoor mall.
So what exactly is like the gym model? Are you guys open gym? Do you do like, and what kind of the services do you do?
We're an open gym. We do an open gym. We also have personal training, indoor pool, indoor hot tub. We have basketball courts, pickleball courts, racquetball courts. Anything you could want.
Cool. So you guys must be pretty big then.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And then how long have you been in business?
We have been in business for almost 10 years. We opened in March of 2012.
Cool. So then, you know, rewind back to 2012, you know, being a gym owner is interesting, right? There's many hats that you have to wear. If you're owning a larger gym like you are, there's a lot of overhead and it's stressful, I'm sure. So if you could just kind of help us go down that road of
when did you decide that you wanted to own a gym, and what happened between your decision to own one and actually opening it?
So I think my decision to own a gym wasn't like a decide, like it wasn't this point in time where I just woke up one day and had this great idea. I was raised in the gym business. My dad owned a gym that was about twice the size as mine. We owned this one together as well, but he owned a gym that was about twice the size, has owned it for 46 years and has been in the business for 50 plus years. And so it was kind of something that I just grew up with, I was comfortable with, and I had a really good mentor.
Mm-hmm. Is your dad still in business? He still owns the gym.
So he actually just sold it, but he is coming downtown a lot to the one downtown. So
yeah, it's fun. He misses it. Yeah, he's craving that. That's awesome. So that's a unique situation. Is a lot of gyms, especially smaller gyms, right? They just decide to jump right into it, whether they're a personal trainer, yes, in the past, or they just have a 9-to-5 jobs and they're passionate about fitness and they want to own a gym. For you, you had a mentor, you grew up in it, mm-hmm, and then you jumped right in. That's really cool to see. Now having your dad there and being brought up in it, do you feel like when you opened up your own, there was a bunch of surprises, or was it pretty smooth that you knew exactly what to expect?
Definitely surprises anytime you open up a facility, for sure. A lot of odds and ends, things that you can forget and that you are trying to ship in as soon as possible. We started from, cement and studs. And so there was a lot of construction work that, obviously didn't get done on time, that we're trying to rush in. We had to bring equipment in. There was a lot, mm-hmm, that went wrong, but that we could make right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, what about when after the building went up and the gym was operational? What about staffing or any kind of operational things you didn't think of until you were in it?
Yeah. So staffing was a huge thing. I did have a team of managers that I had hired 6 months prior to opening. And so that was helpful. We were able to get everybody on board. And I believe that once you have a strong management team, then the staff follows that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right. So now diving into the services and just the operations of the gym, it's large. You guys have pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. If you could speak a little about, what is your main source of revenue, and, kind of going from popularity from the most important and then down, all the different services that you have.
Okay. So our main source of revenue is obviously the membership. We charge $75 a month, and, we do give, corporate discounts for larger groups, things like that. Going down from there, obviously training is a huge one downtown. We offer half hour training sessions, which can be combined into 1 hour. I think it's beneficial for people to get in, get out, especially where we are located, and that is downtown. We cater to a lot of business executives, people that don't have a lot of time to work out, but whether they come at 9 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock at night, I want to provide them the same atmosphere. So it's consistent.
Mm-hmm. Is it only one-on-one training, or do you guys do any other personal training?
We just do one-on-one training. And if we have a lot of people, that clientele, that travel for work. And that being said, because they travel for work, they're not always able to come into the gym. The trainers do give them their workouts that they can take on the road, or that they can just keep with them and come into the gym when it works for them. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now what about pricing there? The half hour session is interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of people pushing pretty much just half hour and then having, you can double up if you want to. And you kind of explained already why that was, but do you have any pushback from the trainers? They're like, I don't want to come in for a half hour session.
The trainers that we have on staff are really amazing. Mm-hmm. We handpick them. We don't have a lot of them because we're pretty picky on who we get in. Because of that, we're able to fill up their schedules and have them go back to back. If they do have a little bit of a gap, most of our trainers like to get a workout in themselves, they need to eat something, they want to run an errand, whatever it is. And so the trainers are pretty good at filling their time, and we're good at filling their time for them too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super important when it comes to sustainability of the trainers.
And it is.
They stay around. Now I'm curious, do you have pretty much everybody on half hour, or do a lot of people end up doubling up?
We have about half and half.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We have probably about 40% double up.
Mm, that's awesome. That's huge. That just goes to show that, like, people, even though the format is kind of encouraging half hour, people still want the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And now pricing for personal training and like package options, do you guys do like 1, 5, 10 packs, or do you have like reoccurring?
So what we have, what we do do is we do packages. We also have a punch card. The punch card is 8 sessions for $400. They need to use it within 30 days of purchasing it. And if they don't, then obviously if there's circumstances around it, we can definitely work with them. That has been actually popular. We just launched that about 6 months ago. It's been pretty popular because it allows people to get in, try out their trainer without making a huge commitment. And then eventually they roll over into a package.
Mm-hmm.
And our packages run, we have a 1 month package. We have 3, 6, and a year.
Got it.
And then obviously the price per session goes down with the package that you buy, mm-hmm. or how many times you train a week. We have a lot of clients that will train, you know, 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's also interesting that, you know, you do have the reoccurring contracts, but then for people to try it out and putting a timeline of, you know, you need to do it in 30 days. Cause that's the issue with packages, is that people buy 1, 5, 10, and then just inconsistently use them whenever, forget it. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, come back and want to use them. And it's not good for anybody, because you as a business aren't making, money that you can rely on. And the client isn't being consistent, and then the trainer's wasting their time. So that's a really,
and the client's not happy as well, because they're not seeing results.
Right.
And so if they're coming in once or twice a month and just using this punch card to do it here and there, they're not seeing the results that they want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So open gym is the main thing, and then personal training is secondary. Now, what other streams of income do you have? Do you have any kind of products or any other services that you offer?
So we do lease a little space. We have a physical therapist office there. We also have an esthetician that provides nail service, facials, things like that, waxing. So just your personal care. We have a space for that as well. The other things that we offer is a juice bar. We have daily space from me, and people like that grab and go, you know, come into the gym. They can order what they need, have it done by the time they work out, and then grab it and go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That. So you have physical therapy and mm-hmm. The cosmetology kind of. I'm curious about the physical therapy. Do you guys have like a partnership with them? Obviously, they're leasing space and you're getting, you know, rent income there, but do they act as a funnel as well? Like, do they do a good job handing off people that are maybe discharged from physical therapy over to training or membership?
They do, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I think it's great. A really good addition to a gym. It's helpful. There's always somebody that's going to be, you know, hurting themselves or overworking a certain muscle, and it's helpful to have a solution for them right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm really interested about diving into the specifics. Like, is it pretty informal where, you know, the physical therapist just walks them over to like the salesperson at your gym saying, hey, they want to sign up? Or do you have like special options or packages that they like are tried to sold into? And like, what does that handoff look like?
So the handoff looks like, well, first of all, to get to the physical therapist's office, you have to come through the gym. So that in itself, I think, is a positive move, because they're able to come in and they're familiar with the staff already. They've checked in at the front desk. They walk back to physical therapy. The physical therapist is located in the back of the gym, so they see what we have. It kind of is something that sticks in their mind when they leave. The handoff, so to say, is more that, you know, they know that they can sign up. We are right there when they get on the elevator to leave. And we do have an interest, and you know, the physical therapy, they put their exercise and their therapies on the equipment that we have. They use that, and so people are already familiar with the facility.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as far as like an actual sales handoff, there's really nothing formal. It's just more organic of if they want to pursue us, they can.
Correct.
Yeah, got it. Okay. And now, was that deliberate to have the PT office in the back to have them walk through, or did it just happen that way?
It just happened that way.
That's awesome. I mean, if you're designing a gym and you want physical therapy, have it in the back. That's
yes, correct. Yeah. And so we do have our, you know, training up front. That is one thing that I changed from when we first opened. You learn as you go. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely. You definitely learn as you go for sure. And with you, even with experience before you open your own gym, you still have
yeah.
to. So and to be able to pivot and constantly be able to evaluate and see where the issues are and prioritize your time. That's all just being a gym owner.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned juice bar, PT. Is there anything else that we're missing? Anything else that you upsell members into or any other programs, yeah. any money makers?
So we do upsell laundry service. Hmm. We provide laundry service and executive locker rooms. So if they just want the laundry service, they have a private locker in the main locker rooms, and it allows people to come in their business clothes, open their locker, their workout clothes are there, folded, clean, ready for them to go. They work out, change back into their business clothes, put their dirty workout clothes in the laundry, and we have it there for them the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And we also have the executive locker room. It's more of a private locked off area, and it has, you know, steam rooms, restrooms, showers, everything that they would have in the main locker room. We do upsell that as well. I believe I'm the only gym in Utah that has a women's executive locker room. You don't see that a lot.
Right, right. And I'm sure that's a huge attraction.
Yeah.
Now, the laundry service, I'm curious naturally about like the logistics of that. If they're throwing them right in the laundry bin, how do you know where they go and what laundry? Is it like a tag
system? They go in a laundry loop. And that is one thing that I will tell you, that going back to how we opened, that was one of the hiccups. I didn't think about the laundry loop situation. Mm. So I wanted to offer this great service, and yeah, we didn't think of the logistics of it, but there is a laundry loop. They loop through their clothes, and then there's like a little cinch part that they put their socks in, and it goes into the wash. We take it out and then fold everything, put their laundry loop right around their clothing pile, and put it in their locker.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Nice. I'm sure that's super appreciated as well, especially if you want to attract those executive type that don't have time to do anything else. And the more convenient you can make it, the more they're going to come to your gym. And they obviously have more disposable income as well. So they make for really good profits.
Well, and they don't want to bring the big gym bag to work, track it right in their office, bring it into the gym. It really helps them to have a private locker. It's kind of hysterical because when I go put laundry away or do the locker checks, it's almost like a junior high locker. They really make themselves comfortable. So they put mirrors in there, they build shelving. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And now back to training. I'm curious, you know, the revenue split, you know, the majority is going to be open gym, but I'm curious how much training do you guys do, and like what percentage of total revenue does training make up?
So training is a small percentage of what we offer at the gym. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I wanted it to be to a point where people could get the same service and the same quality with one trainer versus another. And that is something that we pride ourselves in. And so if your trainer is out of town, we can put you with another one, and they know exactly what your goals are, what you've been working on, things like that. The training part takes up about 10%, 15% of the gym revenue.
Got it. Okay, cool. That's interesting that you're able to swap like that. Most gyms function where, you know, you are a trainer, you have your clients, you do all the scheduling. Super independent, right? I'm curious, does the trainer still handle the scheduling and most of the management of the clients, or do you run it through like the front desk?
So the trainers handle most of the management, the billing, you know, issues, things like that. We run it through the same program as the front desk. The trainers do their own schedule, and it's kind of a collective schedule where we're able to see, okay, so-and-so has an opening at this time that we can put a client in for them. Mm-hmm. I think the way that we do our training model is a little different than your average gym. Well, I guess, that, you know, there's contract trainers that work on their own. They collect the money themselves and then they pay the gym. where we sell the training packages and then assign it to a trainer.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be as large as you are, you need to do it that way. It would be chaos if you had a bunch of 1099 trainers. They were all charging their own rates. And you make it easier, too. You can attract better talent if you're doing the marketing and the sale for them, and you're literally just handing them clients. As long as we're able to retain and try to get, you know, referrals on their own and meet you halfway, you get a lot better talent than if they were to go down the street, join a hole-in-the-wall gym that does nothing for them. It's way harder to make those. Yeah. Cool. Now we'll go down the road of like client acquisition and like the sales process. And I would like to speak at both membership as well as personal training. So from like a membership point of view, what kind of marketing do you guys do and how do you attract members?
From a membership point of view, we have sales guys that go out to the different businesses. We contact them through email, phone, in person. We also do corporate days where a business can sign up for a corporate day. They come in for that day only. They get a discounted enrollment fee, whatever it is, but it's something that they can offer their employees. We've done tables at some of the retail stores and as well as some of the businesses downtown. We have flyers. We have a really good clientele that, you know, they want to work out with the people that they work with. And so they'll refer them over to us. And we do have a referral credit that we give them towards our membership every month if they do.
Got it. So your main focus is corporate and employers. Do you target like actual individuals at all at any way?
You know, the more that Salt Lake has grown, the more residents or people living downtown. So we have targeted them. We go to the different apartment buildings, condo buildings, like stuff like that. And we offer discounts for them to come in and offer, you know, free training sessions for new members, just so they can get familiar with the equipment. So we do offer a lot. And I think that that is what attracts people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like you have a really, really dialed in, aggressive kind of outbound approach, which is unique. You usually don't see that. It's usually either old school style of like walk-ins and some referrals. And hopefully the community is so great that people tell people, or you being large enough and really like on the executive level, you go out and target employers and corporate. That's cool. Now, from the individual side, have you ever done like any kind of paid marketing on social media? Because we find that works really, really well with a lot of gyms. So I'm curious if you went down that road.
Yeah, so we do paid marketing on social media. I think that it was really beneficial when it, you know, years ago. Now it just seems so saturated. Mm-hmm. But we do still do marketing on social media. We do have an Instagram page, Facebook, and we post, you know, different workouts, tips, specials that we're running, group fitness schedules on that.
Okay, so you're more organic side of social media. You haven't done paid anymore because it got too expensive?
It got too expensive. And like I said, we weren't getting the results that we had gotten a few years ago.
Got it. So I'm curious about the corporate. What did that... your salesmen have to be hustlers, right? If they're going to go out and try to track down HR and try to get into the employee base, like, how do you track the success of that? Because honestly, I haven't talked to any other gyms that have that approach, and I don't even know what goes into, say, getting a return on their time and like the best practices. So I'm curious, you know, how successful has it been for you? How long have you been doing it? And what do you look at as the owner to make sure that you could justify them doing that?
So obviously the numbers at the end of the month, you know, what comes in versus what goes out is really important. You know, I just have really great salespeople and they go out, they make sure that it's worth their time. They don't want to, you know, not be successful when they go out. It is really, you know, it kills the mood, kills their vibe, their energy. And so they work, I have to trust that they work hard when they're out there. Obviously, not everyone's going to be doing that, but where we're downtown, everything's pretty walkable. You really, you know, you can't really go down the street without talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so as far as like tracking it number by number and micromanaging it, I do not.
Mm-hmm. That's good. If you can have a team in place that's that good that you can let them have some independence, that's dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it empowers them to, you know, come up with solutions, come up with ideas, things that could help them be more successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is your main objective when you try to pursue corporate, is it to like actually have it as an employee benefit and have it automated where you're actually in like their pay stubs and they're getting like they're deducting and things like that? Or is it more informal of like, hey, send an email blast to whoever's interested with this discount and come in and see us?
Both.
Okay.
So I know that's a really, both. Both is what we focus on. We have businesses that they do deduct a portion. Some businesses pay for their employees to come and work out. We have a large investment firm that reimburses the employees based on, they, you know, if they meet a certain criteria, and that is coming to the gym so many times a month. So we track their visits so they're able to submit them for reimbursement through their companies. We also have people that, you know, some businesses, they're just like, we're going to see who wants it. And hopefully we have enough sign up that we can get a discount. Mm-hmm. And so that goes back to the employees, and they tend to, you know, they want that discount. So they're going to grab their friends and their coworkers and anyone they can think of to make sure that they hit certain numbers for us.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm curious, is that what, did your dad have that same approach, or was, yes, is this all you? Okay.
No. So my dad's approach has been very consistent throughout the years. He, you know, sustaining a gym business, it's hard, it's tough. And so there are things that I learned from him, but that I was able to modernize into, you know, where we are at today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now the flip side of that for personal training. So you're able to get members, they come in your door, they sign up. Now, what's the process from becoming just a basic, you know, member to actually being involved in personal training?
So the process is when you sign up for a membership, we then have somebody call you and ask you if you would like to have a free session to go over your goals, go over any questions you may have with regards to the equipment, tips, tricks, whatever you want to work on that time. We do measurements, and then eventually, you know, they're able to say that they make a decision of, okay, this works for me, or I'm really interested. That helps when you offer that, because it takes somebody that would normally just say no to training and gets them in front of a trainer, and they realize how accessible training is, mm-hmm. how affordable it is, how much it is worth their time and their money to do training. And, you know, where we're downtown, people want maximum results for a short amount of time. You get that with personal training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really doesn't even matter where you are on the fitness spectrum at all. You know, the best, yes, athletes, best professional athletes have coaches. You know, you're, yes, never too fit to have a coach. And even, like I say, even our personal trainers over here have trainers, because you need to. Otherwise, if you're designing your own workout, you're going to be so distracted with what's the next hot workout to do, you're never going to finish the workout you're doing in the first place. So super, super important to always have a coach.
Yes.
Now, so it's interesting that you, with every new member, you call them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people also don't answer phones. So I'm curious, yes, is there like a secondary, do you text them, do you email them, or do you just constantly call them? How many times do you call them?
So we'll try to call them and we will try to email them. But at the end of the day, if they're not interested, they're not interested, and we're not going to turn into the next call center for them. So
exactly, because they're a member, right? They're a paying member. You don't want to push them away at that point.
Yes.
So what exactly is the call to action, to come in for like a consultation, or is it more like a goal assessment session?
It's more of a goal assessment session, and then also a consultation as far as, you know, come in, let's talk about your options. There's a lot of people that, you know, we have equipment, we have cable machines, we have cardio. We take the person that normally just goes and does a treadmill because that's all they know, and we show them exercises on the cable machines, and they're more comfortable using the different areas of the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. Now, I'm curious, you know, just like conversion rate, because one of the biggest goals usually of bigger box facilities is pushing high ticket services and personal training and trying to get that be a larger portion of your services. So mm-hmm. before we even get into your goals, I'm curious, you know, what does your conversion rate look like from membership to taking you up on that, you know, free personal training, free goal assessment, to converting into actually being a paying client?
So usually about, from the membership new members, it's about 20% that 25% that will actually come in. But if we can get them in front of us, we know that we have a 50% chance to do it. And so, I mean, there are some months where people come in for their free fitness assessments and we have a great month and we have like a 70% conversion. There's some months where it's a little slower. In the summertime tends to hurt us a little bit. People want to just be outside.
Yeah.
And so we have to really stress the importance of, you know, climate controlled gym, same atmosphere, consistency, because, you know, even though you go outside in the summer here, it could be raining, pollution, things like that. And so we're able to go over that with them and really hope, you know, kind of bridge that gap between winter and summer here.
Mm-hmm. Got it. 20% of new members to show up is you know, pretty good. We've seen better, we've seen worse. That's pretty good. And the 50% close rate, your trainers seem to be doing a good job. I think sales over, you know, without me being in your gym, I can pretty safely say that I think sales is a really, really strong suit for you guys. You know,
yes,
corporate side to the trainer side, you guys seem to do a really good job with that. It's just getting more opportunities in front of everybody to get even more members. So let me understand there. Now, as far as goals, and this will kind of be the last section that we focus on, especially at the end of our time here. What is really the main goal for you? You know, with everything you have going on, you have a lot of tools that you provide the members. You're pretty large, you seem to be doing well. But we really, what does the next chapter look like? We're getting into 2022. So where is your main focus as the owner?
My main focus as the owner is to, you know, bring up my numbers, obviously. look at ways I can provide different services independent of other gyms. And, you know, to hopefully be in business for 10 more years. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, I think we're a staple downtown and I work really hard at making sure that people remember that, they see us, they know we're there. And hopefully they feel invite, you know, welcome enough to come in, talk to us, look at their options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. So we can get more specific. You know, you're looking to grow and increase your numbers.
Yeah.
What would you prioritize more, personal training or just general membership?
You know, I honestly believe in general membership because you can't sell training unless you have a membership base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the membership base comes the training. And so it gives you your audience.
Yeah. So we'll take it even a step further. Say you get your members up and you're, you know, your building's at max capacity. What would be the next step? Like, do you have, if you do so well, that you would want to expand or add a second location or anything like pie in the sky? Or are you good with what you have now?
I say I'm good with what I have now because you get a lot of gray hairs from owning a business like this. But, you know, growing is definitely in the future. And I would love to have another facility. I have in the past. There's got to be a balance between spreading myself too thin, though, and losing sight of what I originally started, what I wanted out of this business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I make sure that I'm in the club every day. I make sure that I'm at the front desk. Sometimes not by choice, I'm cleaning the bathrooms, you know, things like that. And so I really am able to continue to grow what I started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. No, it's great. And Kathy, I really appreciate your time being on the podcast. I think you shared a lot of great stuff. And if somebody's looking to either expand their smaller studio into one as large as yours or jump right in with 2 feet like you did, I think you gave a lot of insight, especially from the corporate level and the executive level. If you're in an area that suits you, to be able to pursue that, because that is something that is not often done in the gym space. Usually it's more internal of, you know, walk-ins or paid marketing, but with you approaching corporate, that's very unique and it seems to be really working for you. So I do really appreciate it. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now if anybody wants to find out more about your gym, where should they go?
They can go to our website, thegymatcitycreek.com. They can also go on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook.
Got it. There you go. And now for our audience out there, if you guys find value from being on this podcast, click the subscribe button so you know where new episodes are aired. And if you're a gym owner and you want to be featured on the podcast, you can apply by clicking on the link in the description. Until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.